Sense True presents the Daring to Rest Yoga Nidra Meditation Program, a 40-day journey to break the cycle of fatigue and restore vitality, purpose, and power with author and women's leadership expert Karen Brody. And now, Session 1, Permission to Rest.
Hi, it's Karen here, creator of the Daring to Rest method, an approach to using yoga nidra meditation for the modern woman. I'm so glad you're here. Congratulations for giving yourself permission to rest. This is huge. I know how hard this can be in today's world where everyone is busy. Taking 40 days to be good to yourself, to rest deeply and experience the magic of yoga nidra meditation is a big leap. You made it. You made it to the island of deep rest. Before I tell you about the Daring to Rest journey ahead, I want to share my story of how I first discovered yoga nidra meditation. I had been a meditator for a decade when I started having my children, but very soon after their births, I stopped meditating because I was just too exhausted. I literally couldn't sit upright. My oldest son cried virtually day and night from the time he was 10 days old until 18 months. We tried everything to help him stop crying, spoke to many doctors, and eventually resolved to eat every meal with the vacuum cleaner on, which was the only time we could put him down and he would stop crying. Soon after my second son was born, I felt like a sleep-deprived crazy person by then. Driving over curbs, going through stop signs, my husband traveled about 4 months of the year. Rest seemed completely out of the question. So I kept going until one day, actually the first day both my boys were in some daycare and I was returning to work more, I popped into my local supermarket to buy light bulbs. As I walked down the aisle, suddenly I couldn't see the light bulbs or any of the items on the shelves. The aisle was spinning. My heartbeat was racing. I went to grab one of my boys' juice packs in my purse, thinking my blood sugar must be low. But even after the juice pack, everything was still spinning. As a mom, I know when the juice pack doesn't work, I'm in trouble. And that was an understatement. My husband was away on a work trip at the time, so I got my girlfriend to meet me in the parking lot. When she found me, I was hugging my car, unsure if I could take another step. I was sure I was having a heart attack, so she took me to the hospital in her car. Once at the hospital, they did a gazillion tests, and not too long after, they came into the room to tell me I was fine. No heart attack, blood work looked great. "I'm not fine," I told them, to which they explained, "We think you had a panic attack." "What? Panic? You mean I was not dying?" The hospital, thinking I was having a possible heart attack, and now they are sending me home telling me I'm fine? It's just panic? This scenario sounded all too familiar, actually. As a young kid, my parents divorced, and I'd spend my weekends with my father. And in the middle of the night, we'd be woken, put in an ambulance, told Dad wasn't well, he felt dizzy and his heartbeat was pounding, and then, hours later, we were sent home. He was fine. Back then, they didn't call it panic, or at least no one shared this with me. But now, in my 30s, I began to suspect my father had a history of panic attacks, and others in his family, too. Was I destined to have panic? The hospital suggested I go on anti-anxiety pills. This felt like my worst nightmare. I was very health conscious and barely swallowed an ibuprofen for a headache, and now I was going to go on an anti-anxiety pill? Well, I did. How could I not? No one suggested meditation or anything else, and quite honestly, I felt I didn't have time for that. So I took the pills. I promised myself it would only be 6 months. 3 years later, I was still on them. I was still sleep-deprived, and on the day I dropped both kids in preschool, I went immediately to the local yoga studio to sign up for a yoga class to get back into shape. This was 3 years after I started taking my anti-anxiety pills. But instead of the bendy stretchy yoga class, I approached the front desk and in another room heard a very different kind of yoga class happening, a guided meditation. I peeked in and 25 women were lying down, bolsters underneath their knees, blankets over their bodies, eye pillows over their eyes, looking totally blissed out. And I thought, I want what they got. Turns out what they got was Yoga Nidra, the sleep of the yogi, an ancient yogic sleep meditation tool that was like meditation meets sleep. What? A rock star nap? I signed up immediately. That's the kind of meditation and yoga I needed. I began to call Yoga Nidra meditation with a cherry on top. I had always loved meditation, but what I really needed was sleep, and that's what Yoga Nidra meditation does. It gives you the meditation and the sleep. Meditation with a cherry on top. It takes you into deep sleep brainwaves with a trace of awareness, so you're then able to enter a very deep state of meditation where stress literally melts away. I get to lie down and stress melts away? This really sounded too good to be true, but it wasn't. Yoga Nidra met all my expectations and beyond. Immediately, I felt more rested. I also felt more loving and kind toward my family. My creativity returned. But the big piece that was totally unexpected was that my anxiety, a family legacy I had thought I'd have to endure, went away. 1 year after practicing Yoga Nidra meditation, I went off the anti-anxiety pills. I had broken a family legacy. It felt like magic. All I did was lie down, listen to a guided voice, and do nothing. How could essentially what felt like a nap break a family legacy? I've seen this again and again. Family legacies of depression, broken. Family legacies of negative birth experiences, broken. Family legacies of menstrual discomfort, broken. In this 40-day Daring to Rest program, I will teach you the secrets of Yoga Nidra meditation and let you experience its magic. Yoga Nidra looks very similar to the way you'd lie down and take a nap. If you have practiced yoga before, then think of Shavasana, the corpse pose, where you lie down often at the end of a yoga practice to rest and digest the practice. Yoga Nidra looks like this, too. You can even practice Yoga Nidra sitting in a chair. For years when my kids were young, I practiced it in my minivan after I dropped my son off at soccer. I'd park the minivan, and while I waited for my son, I'd lean the seat back, put on some earbuds, and play a Yoga Nidra recording on my phone. My husband has practiced at work during his lunchtime. There are no strict rules other than to be comfortable, listen to the voice guiding you, and do absolutely nothing. Doing nothing, of course, is not so easy. We're so accustomed to nonstop doing that non-doing, which is what Yoga Nidra is the art of, can feel both delicious and uncomfortable, because when we lie down and get quiet, that's often when, as sleep specialist Dr. Reuben Nyman told me once, all our junk from the trunk comes forward. But don't worry, Yoga Nidra has you covered. Emotions may come up when you first practice Yoga Nidra, but eventually by meeting these emotions, their charge on you eventually diffuses. Think of an uncomfortable feeling as part of the detox effect that happens when you go from an unhealthy diet to a healthy one. If you've been running around busy for so many years, when you rest, your body finally meets what it's been running from. For most people, this is liberating. You can be done with fine and start living fully alive. If you've had trauma, while Yoga Nidra can help many people, you should check with your care provider and check in with yourself about whether this is a good time to practice Yoga Nidra. It's especially important for people with trauma to use a touchstone during Yoga Nidra, and I'll explain why in just a bit. But first, I want to tell you a little more about Yoga Nidra. This practice has been called yogic sleep or conscious relaxation. Through a series of guided body scanning, breathwork, visualization, and other techniques, Yoga Nidra helps your entire nervous system unwind and it re-teaches you to sleep. You may be asking, how? Well, by teaching you how to do nothing. That's how. How to completely, deeply relax the body. Yoga Nidra helps you sleep because the biggest problem for people that don't sleep is that they can't turn off the activation switch in their bodies. Yoga Nidra helps you do this. And because Yoga Nidra guides you from a waking state of consciousness to dreaming to deep sleep and beyond to a fourth state of consciousness, you are taught how to get to sleep. You are taught how to go into a deep state of non-doing, and this changes everything. For me, it was ending a family legacy of panic. For the first time ever, my nervous system shifted out of a state of excessive doing, a sympathetic dominant condition that many people are living in today, especially women who tend to be drawn to caretaking and overdoing. We need rest and digest time to counter all the constant activation within our bodies and minds. If we don't get it, health conditions and mental crises start to happen. The statistics today bear this out. Between 2001 and 2011, the number of women taking medication for ADHD, known as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is a condition with symptoms like an inability to focus and hyperactivity, this statistic rose 200%. So how could so many women have ADHD? Certainly lack of rest must be a factor. Also, 80% of autoimmune disorders are diagnosed in women. Why? Lack of rest never allows our bodies to cool down. If we're always hot, this causes inflammation. And there's another reason why women need rest. We are literally losing a connection to our deeper inner knowing, our intuition. When you're tired and you don't get deep sleep, this part of you that is a well of wisdom cannot be accessed. We walk around in what Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes calls a female psychic slumber. We're awake, our eyes are open, but really, we're asleep. We're fine. Like me buying light bulbs that day. I was awake, functioning, but really I was asleep. On the Daring to Rest journey, fine is not acceptable, unless it's a request from your soul. So let me tell you about the Daring to Rest program. This 40-day journey is broken up into three phases: rest, release, and rise. Each phase addresses a different layer of exhaustion. The rest phase addresses physical exhaustion, the release phase addresses emotional exhaustion, and the rise phase addresses life purpose exhaustion. Also, five of the meditations focus on the five bodies of awareness, known as koshas. These five bodies are essentially a map back to wholeness. In the yogic teachings, you are seen as more than just your physical body. You have an energy body, a mental body, wisdom body, and a bliss body. The more you keep these bodies clean and balanced, the better you feel because you're not weighed down by illusions in your life, like in my case, an overwhelming attachment to fear that kept me from seeing that the opposite was also true. Once you clean these bodies, you become closer to your soul. You reside in a more peaceful, tranquil place, a higher vibration, so to speak. You're not spiraling in your ego. I will be teaching you about each body of awareness during this program and how to clean each body both during Yoga Nidra and a few ways outside of Yoga Nidra. I've broken the program down into 8 meditations that you will practice for 5 days each. First, you'll experience 5 days of deep rest and discovering your intention that you'll use when you practice Yoga Nidra meditation. This is an important part of Yoga Nidra, a powerful way to plant a seed that connects you to your highest truth. You'll have the opportunity to change your intention at any time in the 40 days, and particularly I'll prompt you to rethink your intention at the beginning of each new phase before meditations 4 and 7. While this is an important part of Yoga Nidra, please don't stress about your intention. It took me a while to understand how to formulate an intention. I'll be telling you more about intention before meditation 1. You'll also be asked to write down your soul whisper for all 40 days. What's a soul whisper? Well, as I said, when your five bodies are clean, then you're pointed to your soul. It reveals your soul. You can hear messages from your soul that inform your life. Sometimes these soul whispers feel positive, and sometimes they don't. But they always feel productive, like they're moving you forward in your life to your most authentic self. I'll prompt you in each meditation to listen for your soul whisper. Normally, you'll hear it as a word, image, or phrase, but sometimes soul whispers are simply a feeling or a tingle you get, or you hear a song. A soul whisper can appear in many different ways. Be open to how your soul whisper appears when you're in Yoga Nidra meditation. It's basically a signal from your soul that moves you forward in your life. It makes you stop and wonder. If you get nothing, which some people do, then you write the word nothing as your soul whisper, because this informs you too. Nothing is always something. And if you get a soul whisper that is sad, painful, or even distressful, don't be alarmed. Many times when we start practicing Yoga Nidra, we are in a detox phase, which I mentioned before. You're detoxing in the beginning, and that means all that junk from the trunk can surface and could mean soul whispers that you get carry the messages of pain or sadness that you've been carrying. Just be curious about your soul whisper. You don't have to judge it. If it comes up that you have lots of what you'd consider negative or dark or distressing soul whispers, just write them down and move on to the next day. They are informing you of something you need to listen to. Each day I encourage you to record your soul whisper, as I've mentioned, and then if you have time after Yoga Nidra, do what I call free writing about your soul whisper. If you journal about your Daring to Rest experience for these 40 days, free writing is how I would like you to journal, whether it's with your soul whisper or any other thing you want to journal about. To free write, you start writing and don't stop for 3 minutes or 3 pages. It doesn't matter. Do 3 minutes if you're someone who doesn't love to journal or just doesn't have that much time that day. And do 3 pages if you love to journal and you have a lot of time that day. The more you free write about your soul whisper, the more you will get out of the Daring to Rest experience. Another important feature of the Daring to Rest program is your touchstone. This is a small object, like a stone or a crystal, that can be held in the palm of your hand. I'll be encouraging you to use it during your Yoga Nidra meditation, either on your body or in your left hand, your feminine receiving side. The touchstone is meant to connect you back to calm, peace, and tranquility. If you've experienced trauma, it's your safety object that you can touch or give a light squeeze to, or just imagine it next to you to reassure your nervous system that you're safe. If at any time during Yoga Nidra you feel in distress, the touchstone is your object that reconnects you to safety. I also talk about power centers during Daring to Rest. These are energy centers in the body, your 7 chakras. Each meditation will be connected to at least 1 power center, and I will inform you how you can activate that power center through using your touchstone and wearing different color clothing. Each meditation also guides you through activating that power center. This, again, helps you come back into wholeness, which is ultimately the goal of Daring to Rest. It also helps you identify areas of the body that may be giving you issues. And so each power center is associated with an area of the body. So you may want to pay particular attention to that area of the body if you feel more things coming up in that power center. The goal of Daring to Rest is to feel healthy, whole, and complete, to feel both calm and vibrantly alive and free. And these power centers are another way to help you return to this space of wholeness. There are a few more things I want to mention before you begin about practicing Daring to Rest. The first is the practice of Yoga Nidra itself. One of the things I want you to keep in mind as you practice is to let Yoga Nidra work on you. You don't have to work on it. What do I mean by this? I mean, your role is to get comfortable by lying down or sitting down, listening to my guided voice, and then doing nothing. Lots of people ask me, am I doing it right? Just follow the guidance you're given and let the process of Yoga Nidra take you into a deep place of rest, a cosmic space. The only thing I'd like to point out is that often at the beginning of Yoga Nidra, when you're guided to sense your body, instead of imagining each body part, which is tempting, I invite you to sense the body part. Pay attention to how it feels. Don't imagine it. Several of the meditations will take you through 61 marma points. These are junctures on the body where two or more types of tissue meet, like muscles, veins, ligaments, bones, or joints. They are points of life force. When we rotate attention to these points, we unblock energy and we stimulate the body's biochemistry to produce exactly what the body needs, including neurochemicals and hormones that heal the body, mind, and consciousness. If you've ever had acupuncture, the points where the needles go in are meridians that also, when unblocked, free our life force. So when you rotate attention through your body, sense each body part, and if you want, imagine blocked energy releasing from that body part. People ask if they will benefit from Yoga Nidra if they fall asleep. Well, first, I will instruct you to stay awake, but of course, deeply relaxed. If you do fall asleep, which is not uncommon if you have never practiced Yoga Nidra and are very tired, you will still receive benefits because Yoga Nidra speaks to the part of you that is always awake. The subconscious mind will hear my voice and the instructions. But it is ideal if you stay awake, so if you find yourself falling asleep all the time, I suggest you sit in a chair for a while. This often helps. Then after you stayed awake a few times practicing Yoga Nidra, you can try lying down again. I do want to point out that sometimes people think they have fallen asleep but haven't. If at the end of the meditation you don't wake up, when my voice guides you to wake up, then you've fallen asleep. But if you wake up when I invite you to wake up, you may have thought you were asleep during the meditation, but most likely you were just in a very deep state of meditation. You weren't asleep. So what do you need to start practicing? The basics are a place to lie down, either the floor or a bed or a couch, the guided meditation, and anything to make you comfortable, like a blanket, because when we lie down, we often lose heat, and pillows underneath your knees to take any pressure off the lower back. Comfort is key. Optional things you might want to have are eye pillow to relax the brain and block out light. If your neck needs support, you can put a pillow under your head. And you may want some earbuds if you are listening in a space that has lots of outside noise, like a city. Where do you practice Yoga Nidra? I suggest you create a rest cave in your home. This is a space that is designed just for you to get deep rest. If you don't have a space like this, then keep your Yoga Nidra supplies in a container or the closet so you can take them out easily and set up your rest cave when you practice. I can't overstate enough the importance to set aside quiet time to practice Yoga Nidra, not to squeeze it in before guests come over or practice when the house is full of people and you're expected to make an appearance. This program expects you to commit to rest, which means setting aside enough time to set up for Yoga Nidra, just a few minutes, practice Yoga Nidra, which will mean 15 minutes during the rest phase, 30 minutes during the release phase, and a 40-minute practice of Yoga Nidra during the rise phase. And then give yourself some time to transition out of Yoga Nidra. You'll need time to wake up, record your soul whisper, and free write in your journal if you want to. So adding 10 minutes of time at the end of your Yoga Nidra, or even 15 minutes, is a good idea. And please don't have a big, loud obligation to go to right after Yoga Nidra. After yoga nidra, you'll feel deeply relaxed, and ideally you want an environment that helps you stay in that relaxed state for as long as possible. Bookending your day with yoga nidra by practicing either in the morning or evening is often the easiest time to practice, but find what's right for you. And now this is a biggie. Chuck perfect. If you can't find the ideal environment, do what I did. Practice in your parked car. And if you have to miss a day of yoga nidra meditation during this 40-day journey, don't skip a day, but simply continue on with the Daring to Rest program the next day. It's important to finish all 40 days, even if you have to skip a day or two. Chucking perfect is also a way to be good to ourselves. But chucking perfect is not meant as an excuse not to commit. This program works if you commit to it. It's like exercise. The more you do, the more results you see. Be sure to get your friends and family on board to support you to dare to rest. By this I mean, tell them that you're daring to rest, that you're doing this 40-day program, and especially tell anyone that you live with to make sure that you really give them clarity of when you will be practicing and what you need from them, like quiet. It's often great, if you do live with people, to put a napping sign on the door when you practice yoga nidra so everyone knows not to disturb you. So, what benefits should you expect to see during this program? While, of course, there is no way to know exactly how each person will benefit, what is clear is that yoga nidra helps improve sleep, mood, clarity of mind, menstruation, and it helps you connect to a deeper level of knowing, to your intuition. And this helps just about everything in your life.
Our program continues with session 2, the rest phase with Karen Brody.
Sometimes we think rest is self-care, and restful things can be self-care, but a lot of self-care that we do are things like going to the movies and having a nice meal with friends. That is not rest. That might be recreation that feels joyful, but it is not rest. It doesn't counter all the activation. What's so beautiful about yoga nidra meditation is that you literally are taken into a state of doing nothing. Now, Dr. Ruben Nyman, who is an incredible sleep specialist, and he has a book called Healing Night, he talks about how crazy it is that when we are sick, we rest, but we never rest when we're tired. You know, this is a crazy paradigm that we need to change, and you have this opportunity to do it right now, because rest is healing. Rest is so healing that you're going to begin to feel things as these next meditations are experienced, and you're going to start to feel more vibrant. All of these pieces of slowing down that are so hard to do in our everyday lives will become easier in yoga nidra meditation. You'll begin to feel more well rested. Okay, your daring to rest journey is beginning. I'm going to explain to you about intention. Intention in yoga nidra is very important. There's a Sanskrit word called sankalpa. Kalpa means vow or promise, and san refers to an association with your highest truth. This is what your intention is all about. It is like a prayer. It's a short, powerful statement in the present tense that comes from your heart and supports your total well-being. It points you back to wholeness. If you think about a seed being planted in the earth that you want to grow, this is what intention's all about. You're planting what you want to grow in your life. In yoga nidra, you'll notice in the meditations that you're going to be asked to repeat an intention at the beginning, and then again in deep meditation, and at the end. And actually, when you're in deep meditation, the exciting pom-pom shaking truth is that your sankalpa is heard and received in your subconscious mind at a very deep level, and it is accepted. instead of when we have lots of thoughts running through our heads and we go, oh no, I don't believe in my intention. The difference is in Yoga Nidra, you're taken to such a deep place of meditation where you're virtually thoughtless. And when you're in that state, your subconscious mind opens, it's very fertile, and it says yes to your intention. And when you wake up from Yoga Nidra, you begin to live more in alignment with that intention. So in these next 5 days, what I'm inviting you to do is after each Yoga Nidra meditation, you listen for your soul whisper, because that's an important thing to be tracking each day in these 40 days. And then at the end of the 5 days, you're going to bring your soul whispers together, and you're going to actually, on the 5th day, do Yoga Nidra meditation with a piece of paper above your head that has all the soul whispers listed. And then you have 2 options after you meditate on the 5th day. You can lay out all your soul whispers and pick 3 that resonate with you. Or for some people, that's too hard to choose. You know, we just can't make a decision. So then you can put a soul whisper on a different piece of paper, turn the piece of paper over so that you don't see it, and then you can basically mix them up. Take a slow, deep breath through your heart, and you pick 3 soul whispers with your left hand. Your left is your feminine side, your receiving side. And those are 3 soul whispers that you'll use to create your intention. You don't have to use all 3 of these words, but you might want to use them. You're really looking for key words in your soul whispers and any soul whisper writing that you may do, so that the soul whispers give you clues for your intention. Especially if your soul whispers feel negative, then you want to turn them into positive, because all intentions are positive. They are something that may not be happening in the present moment, but they are stated in the present moment and always positive. There's something that you want to grow in your life that's positive. It's one statement, an intention, and it has to resonate deeply with you. And one of the things that's very different about intention, that when people think about intention, we often think about, let's say, New Year's resolutions, a goal. An intention really isn't a goal in Yoga Nidra, which means it's not dependent on outcome. Now, what's funny is that you actually often align with an outcome, but it's not dependent on an outcome. So you're not stating, for example, I want a car or, you know, I'm driving a red Ferrari. That's not an intention in Yoga Nidra. You're stating something more that's of a deeper level. It's of a higher truth, and you want to feel loving and loved, something like that. So I am loving and loved could be an intention, or I trust life could be an intention. Another intention could be just I feel. So after you get your 3 soul whispers and you're creating your intention, you're going to want to put the word I feel or I am in front of it. Now, this doesn't always work, but this is often how an intention begins, because you are, again, stating it in the present tense as if it's happening right now. It's very positive, and it's usually some way you want to be or feel. Something like, I feel safe. I am at peace. Let's say you get 3 soul whispers, calm, joyful, and carefree. It could be, I am calm, joyful, and carefree. Again, it's a concise statement, so you're not going to want to go on and on. This is something that you're going to repeat in your meditation, but it's not going to be a paragraph or anything. It's one concise statement that states your intention. And if after 5 days you don't have an intention, you feel that your soul whispers are not informing you of an intention, what I suggest is that you just start with, I am a well-rested woman. Because that's really why you took this journey, right? I am a well-rested woman, or I am well-rested. That's a great place to start. A lot of people ask me, you know, have I stated my intention in a wrong way? There isn't necessarily a wrong way to state an intention, but there are these guidelines that I mention, that it really needs to be positive. It needs to be stated in the present tense. It needs to resonate deeply. It needs to be a concise statement. So you need to reflect on that. But one of the things that's the hardest for people is stating their intention in the present tense. And I can't tell you the number of women that I've worked with who just to say a simple, I am safe, is really hard for them because they don't feel safe in the moment. So how could they be repeating something that they actually don't feel at that moment? Well, that is the point of the Sankalpa. We are stating it as if it's happening so that we're signaling to our bodies that this is the state that we want to resonate with, that we are resonating with. It's like an affirmation in many ways. One of the things that's really important is not to stress over the intention. Sometimes for people, the intention comes while you're practicing yoga nidra. So you may be in meditation, and when prompted, you might use the placeholder, I am a well-rested woman. This may be your intention for the entire 40 days, and that's absolutely fine. But you might find that you suddenly hear something else. Maybe it's in addition, I am a well-rested woman who is at peace and carefree, or something else. But the important part is that you stay open to listening for what tweaks need to happen with your intention, or what intention arises during your meditation that feels in alignment with your highest truth. Okay, well, now we're in the rest phase, and this is the first of three phases that you're going to go through in these 40 days. In the rest phase, you will be practicing for 15 days, and there are three meditations. You'll be doing one meditation for 5 days, and then going on to the next meditation for another 5 days, and then the final meditation for 5 days, for a total of 15 days. And the goal is really to begin to surrender to rest, to remember that you have permission to rest, and to really allow your body to begin to come back into a stress-free zone. That's really what yoga nidra is so good at doing. It is the art of non-doing, the art of doing nothing, and it helps bring you into a place where you stop thinking and you're not controlled by your thoughts, and you're able to truly let go and rest. Finally, please do not listen to the meditations while driving. Yoga nidra takes you into deep sleep brainwaves and beyond. It's not safe to drive and listen. Okay, it's time to start the Daring to Rest program. Please get ready, and here we go. Close your eyes and quiet your mind. If it feels right, hold your touchstone in your left hand or place it anywhere on your body. You might want to place it on an area where you feel pain, or a random place that feels like it needs health and wellness. If at any time during yoga nidra meditation you feel you need to stop, you can hold your touchstone, or just notice it, on or beside you. This will reconnect you to calm, peace, and tranquility. Now come into stillness. It's time to be good to yourself. This is Daring to Rest meditation number 1. Daring to Rest starts right now. Begin by taking a deep breath in, really letting your lungs fill completely. And now exhale, letting go of whatever you need to. And again, inhale and exhale, letting go deeply. Relax. Notice pulsations in your body. Now it's time to set an intention. You're planting an intention just like a seed is planted, with care, love, and a resolve that it will grow. If you don't have one yet, that's okay. You can use I am a well-rested woman until you have an intention. Now repeat your intention with feeling 3 times. bring your attention to the space between your eyebrows and rest here for a moment. Throughout Yoga Nidra, remain relaxed, aware, awake, and follow my voice. If you fall asleep, your subconscious mind will still hear me, the part of you that is always awake, so you will benefit. Now follow my voice as you bring awareness to the body, starting in your mouth, right nostril, left nostril, right eye, left eye, right cheek, left cheek, jaw, throat, right shoulder, left shoulder, both shoulders, right elbow, left elbow, both elbows, right wrist, left wrist, both wrists, right hand, left hand, both hands, throat, right side of the chest, left side of the chest, middle of the chest, navel point, middle of the pubic bone, right hip, left hip, both hips, right knee, left knee, both knees, right ankle, left ankle, both ankles, right foot, left foot, both feet. Feel the whole body, right side of the body, left side of the body, above the body, below the body. Feel the whole body. Come to the space between your eyebrows. Notice sensation throughout your entire body. Feel a healing life force flowing through you to every cell and nerve. Now begin to breathe in and out, your mouth open on the inhalation and the exhalation. Slow and steady breaths in and out, letting in life on the inhale, letting anything that needs to die off on the exhale, let it go. Inhale, life. Exhale, let go. Find your rhythm. Now stop. And notice the vibrations in your body. Begin to count backwards from 5 to 0. 5, breathing in. I am breathing in. 5, I am breathing out. Breathing out. 4, breathing in. I am breathing in. 4, breathing out. I am breathing out. Counting down to 0. Slow and rhythmic. If you lose count, start again. Let go of trying to do it right. Let your breath guide you to 0. Now stop. Return to the space between your eyebrows. Be still. Feel sensation in your body. Begin to notice feelings of warmth in your body, like it's curled up to a warm fire. Heat rising from your feet into your knees, hips, abdomen, chest, hands, arms and shoulders, your throat warm, jaw, mouth, nose, eyes, forehead, top of the head, your whole body very warm. Now your body is sitting in the snow, cold, freezing cold. Starting in your feet, the cold beginning to rise up to the knees, hips, abdomen, into the chest, your hands, arms, and shoulders shivering cold, your throat cold, cold spreading to your jaw, mouth, nose, eyes, forehead, top of the head. Feel the whole body cold. And now notice the whole body warm again, curled up by a fire. Then letting go of the image of the fire and just noticing the sensation in your body of warm. Now back to cold in the snow. Letting go of the image and noticing the sensation of cold. Now hold both sensations, warm and cold, together, and notice how this feels on your body and mind, hot and cold. Come to the space between your eyebrows and relax. Be still. Let white light bathe your entire body. Release all nervousness, fear, and all blocks to healing. Let go. You have entered a silent oasis. Here you can just be. Surrender. Do nothing. Feel this. in this place of surrender, of deep silence, your intention is heard, and you have an opportunity to rewire any part of you for healing and health. Repeat your intention now 3 times. Feel your intention as if it's happening right now. Watch it happening like a movie. Have faith, your intention has been heard, and this seed will grow. Now return to the space between your eyebrows and rest here for a moment. Slowly begin to tap into your breath, not controlling or directing the breath, but simply moving with the in and out rhythm of your breath. Now breathe in through your heart. Follow your breath to a spot in your body that's calling out to you. Rest here for a moment. See if there's an image, word, or phrase that presents itself. Don't force this. This is your soul whisper. Let it appear. And if it doesn't appear and you get nothing, that's okay. Nothing is something. Take a few seconds to listen for your soul whisper now. Whatever soul whisper you receive, exhale this through your heart. Now begin to come back slowly, externalizing your attention, waking up by moving whatever part of your body wants to move first. Maybe it's your fingers or toes. Just move your body slowly, opening and closing your eyes in your own rhythm, however you need to wake up, your essence waking up. Recall your intention for a moment. Feel it in your entire body, every cell, every atom, every nerve. Feel it in your creative well, your womb. Now notice your breath waking up, your heartbeat waking up, your whole self waking up. And if you wish, if you're lying down, bring your knees to your chest and rock a little back and forth, waking the body up, waking up. Now turn on your right side and rest here for a moment. Grateful that you took this time for yourself, that you dared to rest. This completes Daring to Rest meditation number 1. Be good to yourself. Okay, well now we're going to open the door to exploring the first of 5 bodies, the 5 bodies of awareness that I talked about when we started our journey, and how clearing each body can help with our lives and pointing us back to wholeness and our true nature. So just a quick review, in the yogic teachings, you are not seen as just a physical body, you are 5 bodies. A physical body, which I will talk about now, an energy body, a mental body, a wisdom body, and a bliss body. So the more we keep these 5 bodies clean, meaning without any major energy blockages, the more whole and free-flowing we will feel. Now, the 5 bodies have been described in many different ways, but a few ways that might help you understand them is to picture an onion. and an image of these layers. Today we're talking about the physical body, and the physical body is the farthest from the core of the onion. This is the most dense of the five bodies. And of course, it's the one we can see. We see our physical bodies every day. The other four are more subtle bodies that we can't see. In Yoga Nidra, when we rotate attention around the body, this cleans blockages in the physical body, so all channels begin to open. It's like starting your car. You don't jump into third gear, right? You first have to turn on the car. So rotating attention through the physical body turns your car on. It's like putting up a billboard saying to all of your nerves and cells, "Feed me, I'm ready to be fed." Otherwise, if you don't open that door, you feel ungrounded, you don't feel safe. Really, the physical body is about our relationship with our existence in this world. Am I grounded? Am I safe? So care for your body and you begin to receive the nourishment from the universe. The more your physical body is healthy, the more this will show not only in your physique, like, you know, your flexibility and tone of your body, but in your personality. Ignore your physical body and you cannot access the deeper, more subtle bodies. So you cannot go into these other four bodies, which yogis believe affect your overall health. We need all five bodies. So this first body, the physical body, helps us gain access to all five bodies. In fact, this is where we see the connection of the physical body to what I call our first power center, or your first chakra, at the base of the spine. This is the area that when open and clear, you feel totally grounded and safe when practicing Yoga Nidra. Now, in these next 5 days, as you practice the meditation number 2, if you have your touchstone with you, you can practice Yoga Nidra with your touchstone at your perineum, which is essentially in between your legs at the upper area of the thighs. And this will help activate the first power center and open your body up to feeling more grounded and safe. Just imagine feeling more grounded and safe. I mean, this helps you begin to feel more well-rested, because if we don't feel safe, if we don't feel grounded, that's when our nervous system begins to go into overdrive. So really, this is about surrendering to trust that you can relax and you can be fed. Especially women, we're always feeding everyone else, right? We're putting on everyone else's oxygen mask before our own. So this is an opportunity these next 5 days to really put on your own oxygen mask and begin to feed your physical body. This is the promise of the physical body, that you can surrender, you can trust, you can relax, you can feel grounded again. And so in these next 5 days, I really invite you to begin to feed the physical body. And there are some ways outside of Yoga Nidra that you can be doing this over the next 5 days. Some of them actually include literally just lying on the ground. Lying on the ground will help begin to allow your body to feel more grounded. And now you do this when you practice Yoga Nidra, but you can practice Yoga Nidra outside. That's a beautiful way, because nature is another incredible way to help our bodies feel grounded. So that's one way. Then there's some other ways, just doing some movement, getting our physical bodies moving. And I'm not talking about high impact movement. I'm talking about slow, mindful movement. You can do this before Yoga Nidra to get sort of the chi, the energy flowing before you lie down, or you can do it after. But if you practice things like a little bit of yin yoga before Yoga Nidra, or maybe go on a labyrinth walk, or any kind of walking meditation, like a slow meditation where your feet are kissing the earth, you're literally just slowly walking, that is a beautiful way to begin to get the physical body engaged and fed again, and then go into your Yoga Nidra. Movement is really a way to access our souls as well. And so Yoga Nidra and movement combined is a wonderful combination. I love personally using a lot of slow instrumental music, even like a drum beat, maybe a Gabrielle Roth, the late Gabrielle Roth. She's excellent for these purposes. She has a lot of music that's like that. You'll be able to find the music that works for you. But what's important is before you go into the Yoga Nidra meditation,